Euphoria is a risky and a tricky business. The higher it blows you up, the harder the thud of its deflation. Already the media are speaking cautioningly of the war euphoria. The Lutheran Witness had God hurling Iraqi tanks and planes into disarray and defeat. So, what's with the plight of the Kurds and the prayers of the Iraqi Christians? So how do we get to the hard facts that resist deflation? Doonesbury. What are the hard facts that resist the deflation of Nancy and Ronald, Kennedy and King? There's big money in deflations and advantages for the power games. Is there nothing left undeflatable? Echo, who says it for the zeitgeist of the moment, says no, except perhaps for motherhood, and then best not mention the crack babies. With all the hoopla, propaganda, and image mongering, how many facts are accessible to us? It all depends on where you start. Fact number one. With John, it is often helpful to start at the end. John 6 ends with its pointer to Jesus' betrayal and so to Calvary. From there, you can then look back and see whether you have been following to where he has been leading you. Today's lesson ends with the Spirit. By this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he has given us. We have been expecting, by this we know that he abides in us if we love not in word and speech, but in deed and truth. That was where the lesson began, with the problem. Those who mouth off with loads of love talk, and that's all there's to it. The apostle then fronts us up to God, before him, coram Deo, and there, right to the bottom of us, our hearts. Our fickle hearts prone to be whooping it up or groveling and groaning miserably. Our hearts prone to protect themselves from the one who knows our hearts and is not fooled with our hearts' fooleries. And the greatest of our hearts' fooleries is to allow no more of God in than fits our hearts' ideas and fears of God and what he is like. And that may indeed be almost half true. Having brought us to the coram Deo point, there's obviously no point in playing games with God. There is no hiding from him, no hiding of that of which our hearts are ashamed. Our hearts condemn us. The apostle does not attempt to buck us up with talk of scrupulosity. Oh, come on now, you're really not doing all that badly. We all make mistakes. Look on the bright side. God sees you're trying. Our heart's condemnation is not challenged. What is challenged is that that is the final judgment. It will be if we insist that what our heart says, how we have got ourselves scored out, that's it. That is to exclude God as the one who says how it is with you, and that is unbelief. How it is with you is not what your heart says, but what he says, who is greater than your heart. This is a word spoken to those who despair of God and of his forgiveness, those who see their sins as more than God can forgive. not the way we weigh up our sins, but the way he does. Or rather, what he has done about them. The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we cling to our sins and refuse their forgiveness, we hold to our heart's condemnation as cancelling his forgiveness. We are rescued from this by the fact that God is greater than our hearts. Our hearts may fasten on some sin and condemn us. No child of God, even though that is what he has called us. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. He knows who we are, whose we are. He knows everything, and he has called us his children. Born of God, chrismed, Christed, christened, we are alert to the evocations of baptism. Our passage ends with the Spirit, and the Spirit we know from John 3 is located with the water. The Spirit delivers Jesus, who came by water and blood, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the witness, because the Spirit is the truth. There are three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. If we receive the testimony of our hearts, the testimony of God is greater. This is the testimony of God, that he has borne witness to his Son. He who believed in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The Spirit is the witness, because the Spirit is the truth. Father, Son, and Spirit. By this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit he has given us. It is the Spirit who gives life. His life-giving Spirit is located in the words that convey Jesus. It is the Father who gives life. For as the Father raises from the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. Life, life, life. Father, Son, and Spirit. And it is the Spirit who does the delivery with the testimony of Jesus. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. His judgment is given with the water and the blood. No sins unexpiated. When that is gladly the case with your sins, then your heart agrees with him and no longer condemns you. If our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. What holds before God is alone finally sure and cannot be deflated. That is as sure as the water and the blood and the testimony of them by the Spirit. The confidence spoken here is not in loads of bubbly, peppy talk, but in the so living before God. And so the way we pray is the way we live. Parousia is not euphoria. It is possible to manipulate people into euphoria. Only the Lord God, combined Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, can give parousia. Our text has confidence. Luther translated Freudigkeit, the indestructible joy of those whose confidence holds through, of those who have been taken on by such a Lord, who thought them worth going through Calvary for. Fact number one. This is the bedrock confidence that holds stronger than our hearts tempted to cling to sin and the fear of judgment, stronger than the world which infiltrates our hearts, which then cannot imagine that God should be such a God. It is the confidence of such a God that we boldly are able then to make our way through the ambiguities of this world. Set our hearts on them and you have an idol. No idol forgives. Not those put by the world, not those put by our own hearts. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. The Lord sees you then as sinless, forgiven. And that is not just talk. That is life. Have a parousia day. Amen.